He just tells mom and dad what he had done, because I'm assuming he doesn't want to mess up. Like, he'd have to go back to their village, go through this. And he's interested in going down and getting this woman to be his wife. So his mom and dad's already partway down the trail. I'm not going to turn them around. Keep going.
Wait a minute. Do you think Samson really cared about his Nazarite?
No, not at all.
For him not to tell his parents, it would have changed their outlook on stuff. It didn't change his outlook. Nothing that happened changed him, because he didn't even give a thought of how he could tear apart a lion. You know what I mean? So it's hard. If Samson wasn't looking at his Nazarite being important to him.
Agreed. And that's going to be a definite... No, that's awesome. That's going to be a definite underlying thing in this, and you'll see it leads to his death.
And the spirit came upon without him calling out for help.
Right. So he didn't... So God's just basically, like I said, all throughout... The pattern has been they do things and then they cry out. God sends them a hero. Well, God comes to them, tells them they didn't even ask for a hero. Gives them a hero. The hero doesn't even know he's a hero, and God just comes and helps him be hero-y. You know?
Hero-y.
So then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. Again, we see, that's obviously he's living by sight. So after some days, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. So, I don't know, you can make a metaphor to hear that sin is always sweet, right? Always starts out sweet, And then it said... And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. So guess what he just did? He just made his parents unclean. They've now touched the dead thing. By extension, they've taken something from a dead thing. They're unclean. They don't even know it now. So he's like, not only is he corrupting himself, but he'll corrupt everybody around him without giving it a thought. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. So he continued to violate his vows, and now he's got his parents involved. His father and mother went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. So obviously this is, like a bachelor party kind of thing, whatever. As soon as the people saw him, they brought him 30 companions to be with them. This is just such a terrible thing in the sense that he has no friends. He has, which would kind of be odd to have a party in with the Philistines with like 15 of your best friends and 15 of, your wife's family or wife-to-be, and how that would not lead to, after 7 days of drunkenness, a nice brawl at some point. But obviously he has no friends. He has no counsel. He has nothing. But again, God's watching out for him and is always with him. So Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." So, I don't know, just to find it interesting that you would bring this up. Did he bring it up in a drunken stupor? I don't know. I don't know why you would propose a riddle and then you were trying to get 30 linen garments, other than God's behind the scenes working things out because actually, what you're going to see here, the point of this is, he is never going to consummate his marriage. So God is keeping him from an extra bad thing. So he said... Then he said, "But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 change of clothes." And they said to him, "Put your riddle that we may hear it." And when he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something to sweet." And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. So obviously he's talking about the lion. So he's created this riddle. It's kind of a weird, I don't understand all of it, but he's created this riddle out of this lion killing thing.
There's also a moth in Nazarene.
Yeah. So then on the fourth day, they said something to Samson's wife. It's interesting they call her Samson's wife. It says, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us? So it's basically like, look, we don't even know you. His parents came and got us. We came to a party. And now, you know, they're telling this to his wife. Out of niceness, we came to this party, and now we're about to lose money. And if you understand who the Philistines are, when they says, we will burn you and your father's house with fire, they mean it. This isn't just some boast. And they're probably somewhere near their house, or maybe even in their house, where they're hosting this seven-day drunken get-together. So Samson's wife wept over him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you not told me what it is. And he said to her, behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you? So it's basically a confession that, well, if he told his mom and dad the riddle, he'd have told them that he killed a lion and gave them some of the honey. So he's basically, you know, keeping it to himself is the bottom line. And she wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted, and on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. God, I had to beg for a miserable party to have your wife nagging you for 7 days. So, well, and wife's kind of a weird. And so she told the riddle to her, you know, the Philistine. So basically, she kept her fat out of the fire, but she just costed him 30 garments. And it's kind of interesting. Then the men of the city said to him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. So that's an interesting turn of a phrase there. My wife's a beautiful heifer. So
we knew a man that was a neighbor, and he always called his wife heifer.
What a term of endearment. So, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon. Remember, we saw those cities on the coast, so this is one of those coastal cities, and he struck down 30 men of the town, took their spoil, and gave the garments to those that who he had told the riddle. And in hot anger, he went back to his father's house. So it's kind of interesting. Here's 30 guys just living. I mean, obviously, they're the enemy. But they're up there in the city just doing whatever. Samson's mad about what happened at his party. Walks up, kills Sam. Can you imagine? He hands him like 30 bloody, tore up, you know, messed up. Hey, I never told you what the condition they would be in, but here they are. So, and here's the interesting thing, and it says, and
I don't feel like such a bad person anymore.
You should. And the whole point of this is your guilt. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So that's all. So it's kind of interesting here. I just put a note that even though this looks really, really bad, he was kept from consummating his marriage. So he really didn't take his sin to adultery, which is, if you look back to what when the tribes were coming across the desert, what was the prophet's name that was trying to pronounce the curse?
Balaam.
Balaam. So that was how he made Israel fall, was he brought the pretty girls down to the edge of the camp. They, you know, had relations with them, and that God couldn't bless them. So at this point, God kept him from falling into that same trap, not by his own volition, obviously, but then God could still bless him because he had not fallen into this trap. So it's about that time, so... Anybody comments, input?
Well,
Come on, Judy.
Come on,
Heather. Come on. She's a cat.
Yeah, I'm a cat.
Anybody volunteer to close this in prayer? I do. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this word, Lord, and that we might, you know, learn something from it, Lord, that it just wouldn't be words spoken and one more little bit of knowledge, but would be tucked into our hearts and would be used to cultivate our relationship with you, Lord, and not have us walk in ways that are contrary to what your plan is. Again, just thank you for this time together. Thank you for these people coming out this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.